Good morning. Welcome. And I trust you turn your Bibles, if you have them, you'll grab them either in print or in digital form, and you'll turn to Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, which is where we want to focus this message that I've entitled, Beware of Leaky Cisterns. It's from my series of messages that I call Ministry Power. George Peabody said, "Our task is not to bring order out of chaos, but to function in the midst of it. It's easy to become frustrated by the chaos that comes with life. We like to believe that a day will come when there is no chaos and we'll be able to get things done. That's optimistic, but unrealistic. Chaos is an inevitable part of life that will never be permanently gone from our lives. We have to accomplish our tasks even when chaos surrounds us." John Maxwell has a reminder on his desk to help him lighten up during times of stress. It reads, "God has put me on earth to accomplish a certain number of things. Right now, I am so far behind, I know I'll never die." In the NHL, when a goal is scored, a red light on the goal goes off. Jacques Plante, a former goalie for the Montreal Canadiens, said of his career, "How would you like it in your job if every time you made a small mistake, a red light went off over your desk and 15,000 people stood up and yelled at you?" Stress. That's what causes the frustration that comes when you're trying to accomplish things in chaos. And I want to share a few thoughts today about stress from God's Word. According to the CDC, 80% of medical expenditures are now stress-related. Stress-related illnesses cost the American economy more than $100 billion annually. Spending for mental health grows more rapidly than all other health categories. Stress is a new term. Its use began in the 1950s, but it's a new term for a very old problem. And its remedy has never changed. Read with me our text. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." First of all, stress is conceived by resisting God. Again, that first part of that verse, "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." When a person rejects God's word, he is ultimately resisting God. The fountain of living waters is the word of God. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, when Jesus is talking to that Samaritan woman at the well, he answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Listen, Israel abandoned the Lord, their true source of spiritual provision. This occurred when they began to neglect His Word. and His ordinances. In fellowship with God, there is fulfillment of all the needs of the soul. Grace is compared to water from a fountain. It's cool. And it's refreshing. It's cleansing. And it promotes fruitfulness. Grace is living water. It gives new, eternal life to dead sinners. Salvation by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. And grace revives drooping saints. Kind of like plants without water, just kind of fall and droop their leaves. And then when you water them, in a short time, they're back up. And revived. Well, believers, the same way, as we receive God's grace into our lives and we receive it and we apply the truth to our lives and we are obedient to the Lord, we are revived and we're refreshed. And grace supports and maintains our spiritual life. Because it flows continually. Just imagine that. Maintain fellowship with the Lord through His Word. It will help to overcome the stress of this physical life as God gives you grace. And then second, stress is born by trusting in yourself. You see, stress is conceived by resisting God. But it's born after conception by trusting in yourself. Look at the second part of Jeremiah 2:13. And hewed themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. The cistern was used for storing up rainwater. The scarcity of springs in Israel made it necessary to collect water in reservoirs and cisterns. They were cut into rock and many remain all over Israel. But you see, it says broken cisterns. They've hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Broken cisterns. That means the cisterns were not well made. They probably ended up cracked. So that the water just, rather than gathering, just leaked through them. The tanks that these cisterns were supposed to be couldn't even give an ever-flowing fresh supply. Like fountains can. But they couldn't even hold the water that rained into them. The water would just soak through and leave nothing but mud and dirt. God is symbolizing idols here. Things that we look to for strength and security rather than God. Our own inventions. Our objects of confidence, the things in life that we look to, the things in life that we keep and take and put our trust in for security, that we might feel like we have a grip on things. The Jews had a tendency toward idolatry throughout their history. False gods or idols made by men are like broken cisterns. They're empty and they can really never meet the expectations of them. We still make them in our lives today. They are the possessions. They're the positions. And they're the people we look to for security. We like to have things so that we can feel secure that we have everything that we need now and into the future. We look for positions that make us feel like we're in control. And we have people that we look to for security. In Psalm 115, verses 4 through 8, it reads, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. They feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them." A contrast is being made by God between things being committed to Him and trusting in Himself. It's the contrast between the living waters of God's Word and the broken cisterns of our own plans, our strength, our cleverness, our resources. It's the contrast between a fountain springing up even in the desert with green growth all around, where one only has to stoop down and drink, and the hard, painful labor of hewing cisterns from stone and waiting for the rain. It's the contrast between fresh water always available from God's resource and looking to man-made cisterns that have no guarantee of rain coming or even gathering. It's the contrast of living water that's always satisfies and the limited, partial, temporary satisfaction of earthly resource. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Imagine a man who has a fountain fed from a spring available in his own yard. And he leaves it to go dig a well in the desert in hopes of getting water. How foolish that would be. He already has it without any work of his own. That's grace. The man who has a flowing river near his house, but he begins digging a canal beside it to travel in his boat. How foolish that would be. And that's what it's like when we leave God and His Word to trust in what we can do. How much digging for water do you do in your life while there's plenty flowing right beside you? Just consider it again. God's perspective. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 5 down to verse 13. "For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations'? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. But go now to my place, which is in Shiloh, which I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you, rising up early and speaking, but you did not hear, and I called you, but you did not answer. Listen, leaky cisterns dry up, and stress will dry up a life and ministry. It will affect every part of your being, your body, your soul, which is your mind, your will and emotions, and your spirit. We're not equal biologically or psychologically, and we have various predispositions. We have personality differences only God understands. Can you avoid being a leaky cistern? That's the question. And be in touch with the fountain of living water? Is there a place you can go with stress? Well, yeah. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, a very familiar verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, when I was in seminary, we went there, we had some resource from the separation from my job, and that took care of us for the first 3-4 months that we were there. But then that ran out, and I got a job, and we were able to meet a good portion of what our need was, and we trusted God to provide for the rest, and He did. But then there was a time, about a year and a half or so into the 3 years of seminary, where things began to get really tough financially. And it didn't seem to be coming, and the bills were piling up. And I began to wonder and question, God, did you really send me here? Is this really your plan? But I knew it was. And I also knew that if God sent me there, that He was going to provide for me while I was there. And so one night as I woke up in what we refer to and I experienced as a cold sweat in worrying about these things, I got out of bed and I kneeled down beside the bed and I gave it up to the Lord. And I let Him know that I was committed to His calling and that I was going to trust Him even when the times got tough. Even when it didn't seem like He was hearing our prayers. Even when the resource didn't seem to flow in. I was going to trust Him. I was going to trust Him. And from that moment forward, I didn't worry. To this day, times get tough. I get a little concerned, but I give it up to the Lord and trust Him. Let me tell you, it's estimated that 80% of our stress is created solely by our own minds. That means that most of what we call stress-related is really just mind-related. So, what's the remedy for stress? Well, since stress is primarily the result of turning from trusting God to trusting self. The prescription for recovery from stress hasn't changed for the past 2,000 years. Matthew chapter 11 tells us the solution for stress, the prescription for stress. Matthew 11, verses 28 down to verse 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In his book, Religious Affections, Jonathan Edwards asks this question, and it's a good question for us today. His question was simply four words: is my heart divided? Is my heart divided? Is my heart seeking to focus on God, but in reality focusing on myself and my abilities? Do I have a leaky cistern that I'm trying to use to catch water for refreshment and thirst? Isaiah 55 in verse 2, the prophet says, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let me call you today to a fresh commitment to the Lord. Do you know Him as Savior? Are you surrendered to Him and trusting Him and serving Him as Lord? Do you need to make that commitment today? Do you need to acknowledge your sin? Believe Jesus Christ died for you so that you didn't need to pay the penalty of sin and hell, but that you might have forgiveness because of Him paying the penalty for you on the cross, dying, shedding His blood, and that blood being applied to your heart, your life, and God recognizing you as righteous because of His Son, and granting you forgiveness and eternal life with Him for eternity. And all you need to do is reach out, acknowledging that He died for you and rose from the dead and can give you victory over death. You reach out and you call on Lord because it says in Romans 10:13, for all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you do that? Would you make a fresh commitment today? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in this simple verse that places the trusting of you against the trusting of ourselves. And Father, may we do business with you, and may we make a fresh commitment, surrendering ourselves to you, to your leadership, to your provision, and stop trying to do it in our own strength, in the limited resources that we have in our lives. Father, just thank you, and Lord, everyone that's listening, watching, that you would speak to each one's heart, and that we would be called, that we would be convicted, that we would be given the measure of grace to act on that conviction. And may you be glorified. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And you have a great day.